welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
So great to know that we serve a God who's involved in all of our lives, everyone. And we all have something. We all have a story to tell of His story at work in our lives. And what I'd like us to do, and I'm going to just change everything I'd planned a little bit. So, I just want to share just very briefly just something that I think is so important for us to embrace going into the year ahead. And then perhaps take a couple of moments and just pray for each other. But perhaps there's something from the year past, looking back, that you just don't want to pray over, that's still haunting you in a sense, or something that just, you want to say, thank God that 2013 is finished, because that means 2014 can begin. Some of us have those moments in our lives, we just can't wait to just move on. And just pray over those and trust God just to step into what He has prepared for us in 2014, and just speak a blessing and pray and ask God to show us what He has prepared for us individually and obviously collectively then for 2014, and then to pray God's favor over that. But the first thing is going into next year, I've got some really bad news for us all. John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you." And He says, "Why have I said all of this stuff?" And in John 16, He's encouraged them about a whole bunch of things. He says, "But I've given you all of this so that in Me you may have peace. Because in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And that's a sure promise from God. God has given us a great promise. And He says, if there's one thing that you know that in this life, and just for where we are today, for 2014, that you know is going to be there, God says, I promise you one thing, tribulation. Hold on to that promise from God. You know it's going to be there. No, tribulation is, it's an annoying or frustrating or catastrophic event. As we go into 2014, I want to give you a promise that there's going to be some annoying stuff happening to you in 2014. There's going to be some frustrating stuff in 2014. Some of the stuff that you've said, God, I pray and I thank you that it never will, it's going to in 2014. For some of us, we're going to have catastrophic events in 2014. Some of us had the catastrophic events in 2013. Kewan spoke about his father's heart attack. Mason spoke about Peter and Callista and the little baby Eben. It was just one of those catastrophic moments. It was right at the end, literally at the end of the end of the pregnancy, that the doctors for the first time realized that maybe there's something wrong. I still remember the day they phoned us and said, listen guys, we need to pray. The doctors have just told us this and we're not quite sure exactly what the implications are, but it doesn't sound good. And kind of we're on 39 weeks or whatever it was already. It was right at the end of the pregnancy. And then this baby gets born and slept 101 nights in ICU before he eventually came out. But a healthy baby, you know, that's a catastrophic event. Tribulation is going to happen in various facets for all of us in this year. In 2 Timothy, the news just gets worse. Paul writes and he says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life so that he must may please those who enlisted him as a soldier. But that word must there is a term of compulsion. You know, it's you have a choice to. When I look at my little daughter and I say, you must, then she really doesn't have much of a choice right now. She can tantrum as much as she wants and get difficult, whatever. The reality is, whatever I've said now must happen is going to happen. It's compulsion. It says there's no choice involved. Paul writes to Timothy. He says, Timothy, you must endure hardship. You don't have a choice. You've got to make through it. It's going to happen to your life because Jesus gave us a prophecy. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. We look at the life of Paul and you see there was an abundance of tribulation. Don't lose too much heart. I'm not saying 2014 is going to be a disaster for all of us. In John 15, Jesus speaking, and he says, if the world hates you, you can know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. And what Jesus is saying is there are going to be a whole bunch of people who just don't like you. A whole bunch of people, because of the fact that you are a son of or a daughter of the Most High God, something inside of them is just going to revile at you. Something inside of them is just going to turn against you. Something inside of them is just going to despise you, and there's going to be this hatred that's going to be spewed upon you. Jesus said, if the world hated me, don't worry, they're going to hate you too. And if they hate you, don't worry, they're hating you because they hate me. And as we look into 2014, the year ahead, some of you looking back over the year past, you can relate to some of these moments. These moments are going to be there in 2014 again. Some of you would have watched the cricket last week. Who watched last week's cricket? Those of you who didn't, it was just one of those fascinating games where after 5 days of playing non-stop, they sleep at night and they stop for lunch every 2 hours and all of that stuff. But after 5 days of one game, and the Americans still don't understand that whenever I speak to them, 5 days, the whole game, yes, still the same game that they started last week, still carrying on today. After 5 days, after 3.5 days, you could have, if you were a betting person, made a heck of a lot of money if you said South Africa was going to win this game. We were totally out of the game. We were nowhere. It was a day and a half to play. And still spoke to one of the players the morning of the fifth day, and I said, these are the type of days you tell your grandkids about. You know, go out and do it. And they did. And as the day built, or the day carried on, and our innings carried on and on and on and on and on and on and on, you know, the option, we may actually win this. It'll be the biggest win ever kind of in cricketing history in the 100-odd years that cricket's been played. No one's ever scored this much to win. And we were just carrying on and on. And we're getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And then we caught a speed wobble at the end. And then some of our last batsmen came in to bat. And we were just 16 runs away from winning, needing almost 500. We needed 458, and we were 16 short of that. Dale Steyn came into bat, and then they decided, no, we're not going to win. And the crowd started booing, and I started booing, and everyone in that moment, you're like, no, but we're so close to winning. Kind of, this is history. It's about, this is the type of stuff you tell your grandkids about, and you're walking away from it. Looking back now, just from a tech, it was probably the right decision that they made, but as unpleasant as it was, because there's something inside of all of us that loves the win. We love the win. But you know something about that specific one? Why is it that it was so emotional? We were so connected to it. What is the difference between us sitting, for those of us who watch the cricket, being part of the cricket or a moment or a game like that, and playing ching chang cha with your brother? Yes, you're winning or you're losing, maybe, but what is the difference? The difference is there's endurance involved. The difference is that it's not just a quick flip a coin, we won, game over, carrying on with our lives. And for those of us who've had some battles in our life, those of you who've been around longer in life, you've probably had a whole bunch more battles, and I'm sure you'll agree to this, that the battles that really matter aren't the battles that you win with a flick of a coin. Some of you are sharing now, as Nicola spoke about her relationship with her mom, a year and a half later. But there's something about that battle that's got value that's not there. And as much as Coming back to the cricket analogy, as much as fun as a 20-over cricket game is, you don't have that drama, you don't have that intense, this is this type of stuff we tell our grandkids about in a 20-over game. That endurance, that stretch, that fight, that gritting your teeth, that pushing on. There's something about that that God's instilled inside of us that we value that. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, I want you guys to know something. In this world, you're going to have to fight some serious fights. They're not going to be the fight type of fight where you walk up and you give one punch and the fight's over and life carries on. It's a type of fight where you're going to take some punches and you're going to give some punches. And you're going to wake up some mornings and it doesn't quite feel like you've got strength to stand up, to carry on. But you know where the joy comes in winning? Is when you stand up in the midst of that and you start praying, all the odds are against you and you shouldn't win this. Because it's in moments like that where 1 Corinthians 15 finds context when Jesus said, Paul writes, speaking about Jesus, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the context of all of this trials and tribulations and hardships, all of the stuff that we've got to endure, even Kate's message, looking back in the year, God spoke to her at the beginning about the hard year, but he gave her the victory in that too. That he'd already given her the victory before she'd stepped out onto the field. Before the year had started, Christ had already given her the victory. Doesn't mean it was easy. It doesn't mean it was fun. It doesn't mean there weren't nights of crying and wrestling and struggle. There's something when we step out of that and the word of God begins to find life in our flesh and you step out of that and you say, I've got the victory. Even as Brenda said, not because I'm so clever or I'm so great. God spoke and he gave. He delivered. He restored. He gave the breakthrough. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. You know, some of us are sitting here, God gives us the victory. But God's not going to give us the victory in this area. Some of us, there are moments and there are things in our lives where, yes, I've got victory in this 95%, but this 5%, this is my struggle. This is my cry. This is what pins me to my bed. 2 Corinthians. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses in fragrance of his, the fragrance of his knowledge. In every place. You know, God wants you to walk in victory at all times. In Romans 8, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And the context there is of people who are being sawn in half, torn into, given over to be abused, whatever it may be. And Christ says, yet in all of these things, whatever may be happening, we are more than conquerors. I love the analogy that you used in that word, more than conquerors, is from the Greek word hupernikao, which translation, probably exactly what I didn't say. Everything else is right, but not that one. Anyway, or pronunciation rather. And what it's from, it, what the picture is in the old Greek Olympic type athlete mold. So think of that. Don't think about the naked part. Just think about the athlete part. And with the, I almost said a spear gun, a spear, a javelin. And you've got a target that you're aiming. And you know, we all hopefully understand the picture of sin. You know what sin is? Sin is when there's a, say for example, that window over there is a target. And sin is when I shoot my arrow and my arrow misses the target being God's will, and specifically falls short of God's will. That's the imagery that's used in the word sin. The imagery that's used in the word hupernikao is there's a target that I'm aiming for as a javelin thrower. And it's not that I conquer, it's not that I reach the target, it's I'm able to go beyond what I'm aiming for. And that's this beautiful picture that Scripture says, yet in all things, we are more than conquerors. This is what I'm wanting us to pray over each other a little bit and really hold on to heading into 2014. Because the reality is 2014, there's going to be some stuff happening. I'd love to stand up here like we do on when you watch TV, 2014 is going to be your year. It's going to be your year of breakthrough. It's going to be your year of favor. It's going to be your year of blessing. And I pray that it will be. But the truth is, as Heinrich said, you know, when God says it's going to be a year of blessing, you know why he's saying it's going to be a year of blessing and I'm going to provide? Because you need to remember that he's going to provide when you're sitting with 20 rand in your pocket, on your pocket, in your bank account, and you can't draw it. Because banks have funny rules about that. Why does God give you a word of it's going to be okay? Because you need to know it's going to be okay when it's not going okay. Why does God give Kate a word at the beginning of the year to encourage her so that in the middle of the year when she needs encouragement, she's got the encouragement? Why does God tell Heinrich it's going to be a blessed year? It is going to be a blessed year. But you need to know it's going to be a blessed year even when it doesn't look blessed right now. God, you said, and I'm going to hold on to that. 2014, I'm trusting God that it's going to be a year of incredible breakthrough for us. Not just as Shofar Pretoria Church or the region or Shofar as a family, but for the Church of God. The Church of God would step up to where God is calling us to, just in relationship with Him, first of all, but just in something that I've been speaking about a lot. You know, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're good at that as the church. We can make worship DVDs. You can buy worship CDs all over the place. The only problem is we can only sing Hillsong in church because the others don't have subtitles on. But anyway, we're good at worship. It's something that God's given the church over the last 20 or 30 years. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That the church is getting that right. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're not so good at. He's helping us with that. You know, give me the name of a Christian nation in the world today. There aren't any. Because abortion is rife in every country. As an example. And so we can take whatever God says to be wrong and every country is saying it's right. I was just reading in the newspapers that now in Britain, they call her the children's tsar, the lady who's in charge of kind of directing government policy around children's matters. She now wants to move strongly to totally outlaw spanking of kids. She says it's illegal to hit your dog, so why can you hit your kids? It's abuse. And her quote is just one of those crazy, westernized, humanistic things where she even says that at its extreme, spanking your child is abuse. And she doesn't know where to draw the line, so let's just outlaw the whole thing. You know, when there's no morality, we start thinking of our own morality. Same people who, their report said, some of you remember, that there was a big riot with kids in London just, what was it, about a year or two ago? Was it this year? When was it? Was it this year? Was it this year when they had those riots in London? You know what the British government report said? One of the causes, because it wasn't riots of foreigners, it wasn't riots of people jobless, it was middle class rich kids rioting in the streets. And one of the reports from the UK government itself said the reason is because we're not disciplining them because we banned spanking of kids in public areas and in 2003. Do the math, those kids are teenagers now. And now they don't understand discipline. Just as an example, where is the church standing up? No, this is right in the eyes of God. This is wrong in the eyes of God, and this is right in the eyes of God. I'm trusting God that in 2014, we're going to take big strides in that, not only saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, but also, God, your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth. Your church is your vehicle. But the reality is that type of stuff doesn't happen with fights. That type of stuff in a modern culture doesn't happen without a whole bunch of court cases and media attention and a whole bunch of rubbish going on. There's a man, I think named Paul, I think is his first name, Robertson, in the US. Some of you read the news or pick this up. Him and his family is this incredibly rich family. And what they do is they make little mini trumpet thingies. There's a bird. The Holy Spirit is descending upon you. Right over there, right now, it's a dove in bodily form. This is an anointed service. But they make little blower things that make funny noises that sound like ducks. And they've made billions selling these little blowers that people use to go hunting. And now they've got this TV show. Their whole family is on a TV show. And they look like total freaks, especially the old women, about hunting and their family. They've got this massive TV show. 9 million people watch every episode of this thing. It's like a really big TV show. And one guy had an interview in a magazine where he said he disagrees with homosexuality, and he said it quite strongly. And so they want to, everyone in America jumps up and says, no, how can you say that? Fire the guy. So the television network kind of suspends the guy because he can't make statements about his opinion. He makes some clever statements about that, saying, but that's your opinion, that I can't make a statement about my opinion, so why should I let you have your opinion if I can't have my opinion? And a whole bunch of American people say, but we actually agree with the guy, so now the guy got a $200,000 per episode job back. Just do that quickly. Do that maths, and there's an episode every day or something. But the church should be that voice, saying, no, but this is right. Yes, there's a whole big lobby, and whether the lobby is about abortion or whether the lobby is about pornography, or where's the church standing up? And I'm so thankful. Some of you may have seen in the newspaper, some of our friends, members of our congregation in Stellenbosch, are now taking, they used to be Top TV, they're now, they changed their names again. Chinese people bought them, digital, whatever they are. Then you, the people with the porn, we want to start the pornography license, pornography, three pornography channels. Some friends of ours in Stellenbosch, lawyers, have decided, no, this is rubbish. Now they're taking them to court, appealing against it. But where's the church standing up doing that? But anyway, that type of stuff doesn't happen without some serious fight. And that's what Jesus is speaking about. If you want to have a great 2014, then we need to know that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Romans 8, I'm almost done. Then we're going to pray for each other. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And there's a Spirit, a victorious Spirit, that's meant to be standing inside each one of us. We're meant to, like Muhammad Ali, stand up. It doesn't matter who's coming against you. Say, I don't matter who you are, I am the greatest. But not so much me being the greatest, the Spirit of the Lord in me. I love David's heart running against Goliath. You come against me with a shield and a spear and a javelin and all your other big giant things, but I've got some really, really bad news for you. You see that big sword in your hand? I'm going to chop your own head off with it. Because you come against me in your strength, and I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I love that victorious Spirit within David. David stands up and David runs at Goliath, and he kills Goliath twice, the scripture says. He kills him with a stone, and then he chops his head off and kills him again. Physically dead and brain dead. See, there's something about a victorious spirit that God's wanting to stir up in everyone. Is there going to be some big battles coming? For God has not given us a spirit of fear. It speaks about timidity, intimidation, holding back, reservation, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When I was at school, we was about to go into a big tournament, a sports tournament, and our coach gave us this poem. Some of you may have read it. It's called The Habit of Winning. The poem speaks about the fact that, and any sportsman will say, winning is a habit. You get into a habit of winning. You get into situations and environments where you just know we're going to win. We know how to do. We get into that habit. We start doing things right, and we keep winning. Teams speak about form, sports teams. You know, the team is on form. What does it mean? They've got into the habit of doing the right things right. They've got in the habit of winning. Those defining moments, they know how to react in those defining moments that leads to the win. But as much as winning is a habit, so is overcoming. Knowing that I can stand up from this. I can get this right. I've been there before. I can do it again. And we get into the habit of winning, and it's like momentum that builds. So our teams get on a roll and they stay on a roll. It's the same players doing the same things. It's just a little bit of a mind shift that's happened that hey, we can do this. For some of us, we need to hear this. I don't want to say this too loudly, but some of us need to hear this. Unfortunately, losing is also a habit. The same team who won everything 10 games in a row, now suddenly has lost 5 games in a row. What's happened? They've just got into the habit of doing the little things wrong at the wrong time. Some of us in our lives, we've gotten into the habit of doing the little things wrong at the wrong time, and it leads to losing. God wants to help you just understand that there's a spirit of an overcomer dwelling within you, because that same spirit, this is something I want to go home and meditate about this. Think about the implication of this when we really get this. The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that the Holy Spirit, Jesus was dead, rose from the dead, not like this prophet that's in the news now and everyone's all upset because he didn't raise from the dead like he said he was going to raise from the dead. And I'm like, I thought the guy was a Christian and he'd understand Jesus is the one that raises from the dead, not you, but that's not the point. That same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, just think of that spirit. The Holy Spirit, the spirit of the living God. Jesus crucified, descended into hell for 3 days, scripture says, in the tomb, that same spirit that rose him from the dead lives in you. That same spirit. Just think about that. Go home for a week and just think about nothing else but that. You know, when we get that, I think our lives are going to totally transform and change. When we get the fact that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us, I think we'd approach some situations differently. First of all, he's the Holy Spirit, and we'd understand that we need to be holy and we need to live holiness. But apart from that, there'd be some challenges, there'd be some fights, there'd be some battles that we'd wake up differently to. There'd be some court cases that we approach different. There'd be some lawyers and judges and accountants and whatever business transactions we go into slightly differently when we understand the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead now lives in me. That same spirit. Will you not also raise up your mortal flesh? Because the Spirit dwells in you. And then Ephesians 6. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's so important that we always remember this. The stuff that matters is not the fight against my neighbor. It's not the fight against the person. It's not a fight against the individual. It's not even the fight against the person bringing the court case against me. It's a fight against the power of the principle and the principality that stands over that principle. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. I've said this before, I'm saying it again. I believe that in the next couple of years, because it's one of those things that has value, it's not just going to happen overnight, but it's growing more and more, God is going to teach us how to pray. A convergence, there were a whole bunch of messages at the conference she was speaking about earlier. A bunch of us were there. It was one night when Jason Upton was singing. And for those of you who sat under, he doesn't sing like Darlene sings. He doesn't have words to songs that he sings and kind of you sing with him. He just sings prophetically. And some of the songs are rehearsed, whatever, but kind of it's not the type of stuff that you're going to put on worship and all of us sing along together with. For about an hour, it felt like, I don't know, I didn't time it. Our whole church was singing, Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. I'm going to find me a river in a desert land. Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Teach us over and over and over. I believe that was prophetic for where we're going, that God wants to teach us how to pray. Because powers and principalities, yes, there's a bunch of stuff that has to happen in the natural against rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That battle starts on our knees before God, individually and corporately. Praying together, collectively, and praying before the Holy Spirit, before the cross of Christ by myself. So a couple of I'm going to leave that, but I'm going to ask, I just had kind of 4 tips, 4 ways in which to develop a victorious spirit. But I'm going to ask that we rather turn to one another and just pray over each other. Perhaps there's something over the past year that you know you haven't been walking in victory over. It's been walking in victory over you. And you want to bring that just before the cross of Christ, because the victory is in the cross of Christ. The victory isn't in my strength or my ability. It's Christ who always gives us the victory in all things. And then heading into 2014, pray over one another. Just the grace to walk in victory. The grace to walk in victory, understanding that sometimes the victory doesn't come on day one. You know, when you're playing a test match, the victory only comes on day five. There are 5 days of fighting before the victory. But the victory is going to come. Because Christ leads us in victory in all things, at all times. And I want to ask if we could just turn to one another. I'm going to pray for us. And then if you'll turn to one another and just take a moment or five, however long you want, and pray that over each other. Pray that in 2014 we'll learn to walk in victory. But more than that, as much as we're learning to walk in victory, that we're going to walk with the spirit of victory inside of us. The spirit of an overcomer. What does that mean? It means that even though it looks that there's no chance that I'm going to win this thing, I'm still going to get up and I'm still going to fight. Because Christ is going to lead me in the victory. Everyone else in the world says, you're stupid for even carrying on, except Jesus says, I'm going to lead you in victory. And then for the grace and the humility to understand that sometimes the victory that Christ sees is not the victory that we see. The way it looks to him is not the way it looks to me. And we're looking for the victory for Christ, not the victory for me. Most of the time, we're going to be surprised that, oh, now I see why this is a victory for Jesus. Didn't feel like it to me at the time, but now it makes sense. Just pray it over each other, just for a grace to embrace that. And in 2014, we're going to walk with the spirit of overcomers, victorious spirits. Spirits that are going to keep getting up and keep going back as a lamb to the slaughter, because in all these things we are more than conquerors. And once you've prayed for each other, you're more than welcome to go. There's coffee and tea outside. Hang around, have some coffee and tea, and then have an incredibly blessed afternoon further. So Father, I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you for every individual, Lord. I want to thank you that as we look back over 2013, we can tell stories of a great and mighty God who's blessed us, covered us, prospered us, empowered us, saved us, healed us, restored us, restored relationships, worked in our heart. So many good things that you have done, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we will never forget those moments, God. We would remember to glory and to bring glory to you in them. And heading forward, Lord, into 2014, God, I want to pray over every one of us, Lord, that we would walk with the spirit of victory of Christ Jesus in our hearts, knowing that the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead now lives in us. And as we head into 2014, Lord, I thank you, God, for breakthrough, God. I thank you for opportunity, God, to see your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord. Lord, even at the times when it's going to be tiring and hardship is going to be there and tribulation and trial, that Jesus, we know that we have the victory in Christ Jesus alone. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/ShofarPretoria.